All right, man, you can kick it off.
Is it warming up?
It's warm.
Okay. Hello, everybody. This is episode 54. You're listening to The Journey to Wherever. This is Daniel.
And I'm Yvonne.
What's going on, man? I'm a bit excited.
Well, what's today's date, dude?
Oh, my God. I feel like...
Did you not realize?
No. This is, you know what, okay.
Did you not realize?
No, I didn't realize.
Say the date.
Today is the 2nd of October.
And what is the 2nd of October?
The 2nd of October is the anniversary, first anniversary.
And you forgot. You forgot our anniversary.
Okay, wait.
Hold on a second. Roll the intro.
My name's Ivan, and I'm a scientist by day and a writer by night.
And I'm Daniel. I'm a neuromuscular therapist, and I run my own practice.
And you're listening to the weekly podcast, Journey to Wherever.
Enjoy the show.
Okay.
It's a sign of a, like, you know, it's the classic, oh, honey, do you know what today's day is? And you're like, what's today's day, honey? And you're like, it's our anniversary. You're like, ah, shit. And often those relationships are really good. They last long. So okay. maybe it's a good sign that I
had a suspicion you'd forget. I was like, forget. I'm going to like place the port here to celebrate for the 1 year. And I'm going to see what the intro is going to be like, because I kind of like rolled it out whether or not you'd remember or not. And you're like,
well, I just got excited. I walked in and I was like, ooh, port. And I still didn't click.
Well, it's a bit early. I mean, it's a bit, you know, it's only, what time is it now? 5:40
in the afternoon. It's not really early. It's evening time.
But I figured we'll have like a little nip only to celebrate the 1 year anniversary, because today's the 2nd.
Oh, man.
You cool for that?
Yep, it's cool with that. Yep.
Yeah, man, I'll pour it out. But did I just spill it on you?
No, you're good.
So, man, today's the
1 year anniversary.
The 2nd of October, formally, officially, the 1 year anniversary, the birthday episode of the podcast. What I planned on doing was actually getting like a little cupcake or a cake or something with a candle in the middle. We'd like light it, and you know, but I was too busy doing this DIY project today, so I completely forgot about the cupcake. Okay. But I got some port.
You got the good stuff. So you did some DIY today. Oh, just before we go,
cheers to the 1 year of the podcast on episode 54.
Let's go. Let's see how smooth this bad boy is.
I think this might have been the one that we had last time.
Oh,
I think tasted a bit more
Barry's about
today.
To start to come out very soon. I think Barry is going to be my alter ego for the show.
What, Barry White?
Barry White. So, DIY today. What's going on?
Yeah, man. I did a little bit of a DIY project today. Let me just fix up my mic. I'm on holiday still. As I said on the last episode, I was going to take a week off.
And how's that?
It's been good, man. Mm-hmm. It's been not too bad. Enjoyed some Nintendo gaming time with the kids.
Yeah.
And then today I was like, oh, like that was going to take the kids out to go see all their school friends for like a play date and stuff at the park for a picnic. And I was like, well, it's going to be all the mums and stuff. Let them go. Have fun. So I'm going to stay at home and have a chill session. Then I was like, I've been wanting to DIY the barbecue a little bit because I could probably get one more season out of it.
Yeah.
And as I said, we're trying to paint all our pots white, and I want to have like this white theme to go with the house.
Yeah.
And then I figured, well, why not try that with the barbecue? And I saw this post on Instagram about re-DIYing a barbecue. And the barbecue I got is not a cheap barbecue. It's a good barbecue.
Oh, it's been what? You've had it for 10 years.
And we've had it for a long time. So I'm
10
like,
years?
Probably, yeah.
Well, you got it when you got married.
No, we got it from when we got married.
Yeah, so 10 years.
So 10 years.
Yeah.
And I figured...
Decent.
Yeah, so I figured, you know, let's try and get one more season out of this barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
I'll test it. If it works out good, then it looks good. If it doesn't, well, I'm due for a new barbecue anyway. What's the loss of, you know, a couple of cans
give it a nice little spruce on its way out.
Yeah, a couple of cans of this high temp barbecue, you know, enamel paint and stuff, and see how it goes. And it turned out not too bad. It looks good next to the house. So
nice.
I spent a few hours doing that today, and yeah, man, here we are, ready to record the show. What about you? You said you were doing some
Well, today I gave myself a day, which I've been known to do in my time, to have a day off before the long weekend to kind of have the extra long weekend.
Yep.
Excuse me. And the basis of last week. So I got my whippersnipper back. Yay to me.
Oh, yes. Right? Congratulations.
So he survived.
We should cheers to that one too.
He was in Whippersnipper Hospital, so he's been fixed. And man, it's just when that thing, like, you don't realize.
Was it an easy start?
Yeah, it's so easy.
Like, what was it? The spark plug?
Oh, it was everything. It was a spark plug. You know the little little pump thing?
Yeah.
Like where the primer you
bulb.
Pump it like 5 or 6 times and you see like the little petrol
the bulb,
spin around.
The primer bulb thing.
That was broken. There was a whole bunch of other stuff.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't realize how messed up it was. Anyways, long story short, came out. I never thought I'd be so happy to see my whippersnapper again, to be honest. And so, yeah, had a bit of anxiety all week looking at my my 40% finished hedges.
You know what happened? I forgot to give you mine last week.
Nah,
that's
okay. I wouldn't have the time to do it anyways. Okay. But anyways, so I did that. But it's just good to be able to spend the full day in the yard and just like fine tune little bits. Because normally it's like, oh, we got to go like here in the afternoon or we got to do this. So it's like, I've got this little block to do. So it's all day today was like, it's just garden today.
There you go.
So it was just like a chill garden day. And, you know, did the traditional sausage sizzle for lunch. So,
man, I've been doing some sausage sizzles too lately.
Yeah. So apart from that, it was...
It's the season for it. Like, it's summertime. The other day, you know, Nat and the kids were sitting outside and we were doing something. I can't remember what it was in the backyard.
Mm.
And then I was like, right, now I'm going to get the sausages out. We'll get some sausage sizzle going.
Yeah.
And then the other day when the kids, because it was me and the kids at home, and I was like, you guys feel like burgers for lunch? So I went and cooked some burgers and some sausages.
Yeah, it's nice. Oh, it's just good. It's a very outdoorsy type of
vibe,
mealy vibe. Yeah, yeah. You know, like, yeah, you could do a sausage sizzle. You know, for our non-Australian audience, and a sausage sizzle is essentially a, is it a continental sausage?
It's an Australian staple.
Australian staple, you know.
The Australian snag.
Snag. You put it in a roll, put it on a slice of bread, put it on, you know, some form of bread. Onion, happy days.
Yeah.
It's a pretty simple feed, but it does the fix. So, apart from that, just, you know, home all day, a couple of Bunnings trips, and before you know it, I had to rush over here and do the podcast. The yeah.
Get on shift.
Have you learned anything new this week?
Have I learned anything new?
Yeah.
How, man, I've probably learned a few things. I've learned, I watched the first of three presidential debates.
You did?
I watched the presidential debate. Okay. You know me. I like, you know, I like...
You like America.
I like everything that represents America.
America. Gotta say it properly. America.
And yes, I watched that.
So you like watched it?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Wow.
Maybe okay. For an hour and a half.
Wow. I Instagram watched it.
Well, you could...
Which means like I saw like maybe four or five like... 1 minute clips and that's about it.
So it was pretty much yelling at each other back and forth. Pretty multiply much. That by an hour and 36 minutes because that was it. So I've learned a few things this week. Everybody's learned a few things this week.
What exactly did you learn?
Look, there was definitely a lot of banter going back and forth.
Yeah. Banter's a very kind way to describe their back and forth. Was it banter?
Oh, well, there was some interesting words going back and forth, you know, from different sides.
Yeah.
But look, I it was to be honest, it's the first time I've watched a full end-to-end debate. I've watched snippets of debates before as well from like previous presidential candidates and stuff.
Did this one intrigue you like more so? Like,
well, this is because I've really been following along this four-year term a lot.
Okay.
And I've been following along...
Probably like a lot of people.
The next candidates who are looking to, you know, obviously try and take the seat, as well as the current, and I'm just interested in the dynamics. I like a lot of American political shows. I watch those, I thought it was interesting, but there was a lot of like arguing and stuff back and forth, you know, a lot of probably interruptions and stuff. They didn't really follow the mandate,
They didn't really follow the rules of a debate, you know, like
time, I think the moderator wasn't unbiased either.
He wasn't unbiased? No, okay.
I don't think so. Okay. I think there was a little bit of suggest... Because normally a moderator should ask the question in an unbiased way and let someone respond.
Yeah.
But I felt the moderator asked a question and made statements which were almost accusations in the statements. They said, well... You've been doing this and this and this. It's like...
Instead of saying, the people say this, what's your response
to
that?
Or it's perceived as or what is just your view on this? It was more, this is what you've been doing, so what do you say
how
kind
do you
of thing?
Even look
which
to
I don't
get,
think was right. I don't think that's how a moderator should be doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. How do you even get someone, especially in the inflammatory state that that country is in at the moment, how do you even get a moderator that's going to be biased, non-biased?
Well, that's what you're supposed to do.
No, someone that's like in the middle.
Yeah.
They can't.
Of course you can.
I know you can, but they won't be able to.
I could do it.
Oh, well, you're not from there though.
Doesn't matter. It's just simple. Them, no, there's many people to be able to do it. You'll be able to, if you're a professional person, especially if you're like a journalist, you should be able to step back and present the facts.
No, look, I agree, but like
and ask a question and ask a question without indicating or trying to hint at a certain view or anything like that, and then just see how the person responds. That's how it should be done.
Yeah, sure.
That's what a moderator and a question asker should do.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I watched that. That gave me some like insights into whole, you know, probably how to and how not to debate.
Yeah.
And how to stir people up and how not to stir people up, and what I would probably do if I was in this situation.
Okay. As in if you were the other president or president-to-be?
Oh, either one. Just either. No, look, just more how I would probably respond in a debate.
In a debate. Oh, okay, just the tactics of the debate.
Just the tactics of the debate.
Okay, I see.
So, yeah, I did that. And then I haven't really learned all that much lately. Only because I'm only just starting to feel my peak come on now.
Mm.
So the first sign now is I'm staying up until like 2 o'clock every morning. I just can't go to sleep.
That's
so I switch on at like 11 p.m. and I'm like awake.
Yeah.
Thinking about a lot. I've done heaps of engagement on Twitter.
Yeah.
Lately.
Yes.
Particularly for the show.
Yes.
A whole bunch of new people on Twitter following along there. So if any new listeners, welcome.
Welcome to the family.
But yeah, what about you?
Well,
you asked it was almost like a loaded question there.
Well, it was like it's funny that you bring that up.
Non-moderator of you.
It was funny that you bring that up in a response to the question that I asked, which I didn't think you were gonna answer that way. But we're gonna lead into that kind of debate-ish type thing, anyways. But that's funny enough. That's what I learned as well with. Not about the debate as such, because I didn't really watch it. I call it Instagram watch it because I saw all the little funny clips and the memes and all that stuff. Because not that I don't care about it, it's just like, you know, an hour and a half of, I barely have an hour and a half to sit down and watch the stuff that I really want to watch as opposed to the debate. But what I did learn and what it kind of reaffirmed to me is, I'm not sure if it's an American culture thing, and it's not to bag it, it's just more to highlight that I think Americans, or maybe more so now the world as such, but I think the Americans started the whole, the culture of, what's the best way to put it? Like psyching out your opponent. The trash talk era. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
I know what you mean.
Getting the one up, the mental edge.
Like in anything though, even like sports and stuff,
like
you mean?
Like sports, yeah. Okay, for example, like, you know, like you, a press conference. That to me was like, you know, when you get two fighters.
Well, think of UFC. I was going to say,
UFC. You know, you get your classic, your Conor McGregor versus whoever, right? They do a press conference, and the whole point of a press conference,
the only
point of a press conference is to hype the fight,
get
people to watch the press conference, so that people buy the pay-per-view, so that the company makes money, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But then you get these two polarizing figures throwing jibes back and forth at each other. One's like, you're this, I'm that, I will knock you out, blah, 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 blah. But it's become like the thing now.
Yeah.
Do you know, it's in all sports. It's not just combat sports. You just see it in race car drivers. You see it in like tennis courts. You see it in soccer pitches.
Politics.
Like just multiple ways to psych, like people say things to kind of either get the reaction. And I like kind of both ends to it. Like I'm drawn to the fact that people try and psych their opponent out.
Yeah.
But I also like the kind of the humble, quiet athlete that kind of lets their skills do the talking. And then when they finish their opponent or they score the goals or they win the match, they just kind of just give the nod like, I didn't have to do all that bullshit that you did, but I still kicked your ass. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot to it, and especially watching, I guess Instagram watching the debate.
Yeah.
It's like, there was nothing about, from what I gathered in the comments, there was nothing in the debate that would show people like, oh, this person's going to do this for the country or that person's going to do that for the country. It's just two massive egomaniacs going back and forth and nothing is said. But but I think it did its job. Everyone tuned in.
Yeah.
I would probably say in the past, most people, I forget the percentage, but a lot of people don't vote. In America.
No, there's a percentage that doesn't vote, yeah.
I would say that this would probably be the most voted for election.
Whereas a lot of people will vote.
This time around, because of that.
Probably.
I would say.
I don't think it's not because, just of because of the debate. Of that. I think it's just people will vote in general.
But it's like, it just shows you, like, the whole point of the debate was to see who's going to do what for the country, right? But that's, all of it was
intention.
Just... Huh?
That's the intention.
That's the intention, right? Yeah. What's the whole point of it, right? Like, I don't think in Australian politics we do that, from memory. I don't think we have a debate per se.
No, I think we do have like a Q&A type thing with the...
No, but do we have like something like I did? If you look, similar. Look at the set out, it was like two people out on a stage podium and there was an audience. Like,
think we do something similar like on Q&A type.
It was very gladiatorial like, you know what I mean? Very like, what's that? Roman, you know Colosseum. What I mean? Like, very Colosseum-esque, you know what I mean? Like everyone's there like, cheering. It's very like
I think Australians do something like that.
I don't know if we do, man. I don't remember us doing anything.
We should.
I don't know. I feel like, do you feel it's happening more in like
rivalry?
Yeah. I think, do you feel like the hype, there is more hype
in everything these days? I think there's more polarization
than
there probably ever has been.
Yeah, okay.
And what we're finding now is that we're finding a 50-50 split in many things more often than not, which means it inherently forces people to be on both sides, opposite sides of the fence, So now, before it was like you had someone would have an opinion, but the minority just wouldn't say anything.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's bad or good. It's just they just didn't. That's what it was, right? Mm. The minority just didn't say much. That's why they were counted as the minority.
Yeah.
Now I think there's more power going to the minority and the people that feel probably excluded, and they're finding that they've got a voice, so they're stepping up and saying something.
Do you feel like they're saying more targeted inflammatory things to gain a response so that their voice gets projected?
I think this would be
more.
My next point. So I think,
like, even though they're kind of like they're fluffing the truth a little bit, they're just kind of adding a bit more flames to it than
both sides of an argument will probably fluff truth up.
Yeah, yeah,
for
definitely.
The most part, yeah, you know, of any argument. But I think that with the divide that there is, and there's more of a 50-50 split, 49, 51, 48, 52, the kind of just bouncing back and forth split,
yeah,
that people inherently find things to argue with on either side. And then in turn, because it's almost like it turns into like this resentful argument, people start to give each other slander back and forth.
Yeah.
And it happens quite commonly.
Yeah.
I've always felt that Australian politics are like
a bit more subdued, maybe?
No, I think that they're always... It seems to me that everyone's quiet for the term.
Okay.
And then right at election time...
It ramps up.
It ramps up and everyone's like, the opposition's blah, blah, blah. That person doesn't ever do this for us. That person's only saying this. That person doesn't want this for you. And it's always like finger pointing. It's like everyone just saying what the other person's not
doesn't
doing.
Doesn't do, yeah.
That, to me, is something that I don't gravitate towards.
But it's what's happening a lot, though.
No, it is, 100%.
You know, and so from what you were saying before, with the 51-49 split, 49-51 split, it keeps going back and forth. These types of debates and these types of, like, Q&As, like, oh, opposition leader, what do you think about the whatever the president or the prime minister said regarding, you know, healthcare? And then rather than give a, like, oh, well, I'm not sure, really sure what they've said or whether I agree with it, but what we would do would be X, Y, Z. It's not that. It's, oh, they said this, but they promised that, and this didn't happen. It's like, it's a lot of, like, what you just said.
Yeah.
But that in itself is enough to get those who are on the fence to go, oh, shit, you know, like, maybe my vote should go the other way. You know what I mean?
Or, it depends on how people are influenced. Some people get influenced hearing the bad of what others are doing.
Yeah.
Then other people who are like,
but
say,
if you don't read
quite intellectual and like the discussion, the conversation, the intricacies of the details,
yeah,
will want to hear about the plan and the process and what are you actually going to do.
I would say a vast majority don't follow it closely enough to make an educated opinion on what is truly best for them. I feel like they rely heavily on these snippets, these types of debates, and the slanders back and forth in the media to influence their decision.
Mm.
That's what I think. And like, if again, using like sports for example, like a lot of people won't even watch the sport or the soccer game or the boxing match, but they watch a press conference.
Because they like the lead up.
And if you're a gambling person, or even if you're not a gambling person, you think this person's going to win.
Yeah.
You put your money on them based on how they performed in a press conference, which, mind you, has nothing to do with the actual event on the day.
Yeah.
So, like, with the debate, it's like just how you perform on the debate doesn't necessarily mean how you're going to perform throughout your term as president or prime minister or whatever.
Yeah.
But it has huge, huge ramifications, I think.
As far as influencing people of how they're going to pick you or not.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, look, it's quite... If you don't just look at the political side and just look at the day-to-day stuff...
Yeah.
I think it happens all the time. It happens in, like, the boardroom when people egg each other on.
100%.
It happens in school.
Oh,
it happens
school,
in
schoolyard,
sport.
Schoolyard slander is full on.
Slander.
Yeah.
Like, on a funny sense, like, it probably plays a part in, like... I mean, if, say, for example, like, you know, think back when you're in school days, right? And I'm not encouraging, like, schoolyard biffs. But when you know, we went to an all boys school.
Oh, there's a lot of posturing.
And there's a lot of, like, you know, testosterone floating around.
Oh, huge.
There's a lot of posturing. There's a whole bunch of guys in puberty that are, like, you know, trying to show who's alpha and who's dominating the playground.
It's all that.
And it can be anything can just trigger it. And then, like, someone's in the classroom and kind of, like, has some slander to someone else. Someone says a comment. Another person says a comment. Another person says a comment. And it kind of just rifes up everybody.
100%.
Looking back, you look at it and you're like, oh, that was funny. But yeah, when you're in the moment...
Oh, it's full on.
It sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. Especially if you're on the wrong end of the... slander. Or
yeah,
the or the trash talk.
Let's call it trash talk. Because, like...
Because that's what it is, right?
I think trash talk maybe to me is the... Is trash talk... Slander to me is the putting someone down intentionally to make them, like, truly make them feel bad.
That's trash talk, 100%.
No, that's slander, I reckon.
Oh, that's slander, okay.
Trash talk to me is, like, at the end of it, you know you're going to shake hands.
Yeah.
You're going to talk shit about each other anyway, just to get eyes and attention, because you know it works you up, and you want to work the other person up, yeah, and you want to kind of mess up their game.
Yeah.
So you trash talk.
Yeah. I think that...
Whereas slander's, I think, is probably more intentional.
I think when there's genuine hate as well...
Yeah.
Not that there's too much these days in professional sport, but it can happen. A lot of it has positive financial benefits as well.
Yeah.
Naturally, in the for example, the fight game, the more you hype up a fight, the more people buy that pay-per-view, the more people buy the pay-per-view, the more money you make. It's pretty simple, right? How else are you going to get... You're always going to get a fan like you and I.
Yeah.
Like, I'd probably say I'm more of a fan... In, like, you watch UFC, but, like, you probably watch the main ones, right? Whereas I probably follow them more closely.
You follow the whole sport as a
whole. The whole sport, right?
Yeah.
Whereas you, like, I would probably pay my $50 for every pay-per-view, especially if I've got the afternoon free, whereas you probably wouldn't. Not because you don't want to pay the $50, it's because you'd be like, oh, well, I don't know who they are.
Yeah, exactly.
But if, for whatever reason, it were to be hyped up just that little bit more...
Well, if you think back to the Conor McGregor versus...
Conor versus who? X, Y, all of them.
No, I know, but
Nate Diaz.
When he went to the boxing...
Oh, Mayweather. Sorry. That was massive.
When McGregor versus Mayweather, you know, for the boxing thing, because
they did
a
four-country press tour.
Yeah, but that there was a lot of talk back and forth. There was a lot of clips back and forth. There was a lot of just stuff that they created the atmosphere.
Yeah.
With trash talk in there.
Yeah, 100%.
But
heaps
I think
the posturing, like, they're flaunting the whole who's the richest athlete, and you know, got, like, I think Conor McGregor in the New York one, he rocked up in, like, a Versace mink coat with no shirt on.
Yeah.
It's like, do you know what I mean? It's like, I think it's all done on purpose, 100%. But it sells. Like, if I look back, like, to the where it kind of, I think, and I could be completely wrong here, but I think the originator of the original trash talk was Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if it started before that.
It might have started before him.
If I try and think of a character,
but
I agree.
He was the guy that put it, like, he put it on a mantle that just said that this is acceptable to, in a sense, to sell a fight, number one, and two, to show you guys that I'm going to kick this guy's ass.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think he was fighting for the heavyweight championship against Sonny Liston. And he's like this quiet guy. He might say a few bits and pieces, but I think he broke him before the fight even started purely because of all the nonsense that he was talking. And the fact that he's Muhammad Ali and he ended up becoming, you know, pretty much the greatest boxer of all time.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everyone talks about how the fact that he just went in there and just annihilated this guy. Like he wasn't even there. He was just a body waiting to give him the championship belt.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I feel like it's such a powerful tool, whether you agree with it or not, whether you like watching it or not. And like I said, I like both ends of the argument. It's like, it's got a lot of weight to it. You know,
I think
I mean?
It's certainly got a place. It's certainly got a place in, it's probably got a place in sports a lot.
Definitely in sports. And it used to be just combat sports. It happens a lot now in all sports.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, I think even for example, something like, If you look at in Australian football, for example, or rugby, when you watch a New Zealand team versus another team and they do like the haka before
that's
the game.
Massive. That's massive.
To huge. Me, that's not like...
that's not trash
putting,
talk.
That's not trash talking. That's not putting the other person down, but it does, it psychs themselves up.
Yeah.
But I think it also
sends
a message to the other team, like
we're going to
dominate.
Yeah.
You know, and when you watch it, it's like, you're going to get goosebumps because you watch them and like,
that's such they're a like perfect example.
Into it.
That's like, such a perfect really example because it. That, I think from memory, haka is a form of, it's a sign of respect.
Mm.
Showing your opponent, your, or whatever it is, a sign, a form of sign, like a battle type respect.
Yeah.
I should probably look it up. But
I wouldn't be surprised if it does have like a pre-battle thing to
but
it.
If you don't watch any sports, everybody knows about, like, for example, the Rugby Union All Blacks haka, for yeah. example. Like, you tune in, I think most people would sit and watch that before they even watch the whole 80 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that yeah. people will just watch.
They look forward
because
to
it has such impact. And you look at their faces and they're doing, you know, the tongue thing. And yeah. it's, everyone's like, whoa, this is fully intense, you know. But I think culturally, it's just become more and more accepted as yeah. well. And it's like people, like you were saying in the like playground biff, you know what I mean? It's like, it's a way for, in schools, if you wanted to assert yourself as the alpha male,
yeah.
like the cool guy or the big guy or the strong guy or whatever, the jock or whatever you want to call it,
mm.
you had to do certain things within the playground
yeah.
to be considered alpha.
The alpha.
All right? And with a lot of schools, especially nowadays, there's a lot of like, I don't think you'd see or hear as of much playground biffs as you would probably back in the day.
I would assume
there's a lot less these
but
days.
But I wouldn't be surprised if there still is, which yeah. would be a shame.
Yeah.
But I would assume that it would be less because I think kids are being raised differently because parents are more empathetic these days.
Yes.
So I think that they're raising their kids in a kind way
mm.
that they impart a lot more kindness on each other. I've noticed that with kids these days. They tend to be like that.
Yeah.
So I would hope that there's less of that in the playground.
I think there is less of that because there's more of it outside school grounds. For example,
online. Yeah.
Because when we're at school, like once 3 o'clock hit, it's like, I'll see you tomorrow. Do you know what I mean? Or I'll see you at the park at 3:15.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that I was ever involved in a 3:15 brawl or anything, but did I witness a few? Yeah, of course you did. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And like anything, right? Like it's classic. Sometimes you didn't even know who they are. And someone's like, oh, bro, you're going to go to the park at 3:15? Who's fighting? Like, I don't even know who they are. Fine, I'll come. Because there's so much excitement,
you know,
for it.
There's
just go to it,
there's
right?
There's something to be said about the biology of this whole thing, right?
Yeah.
Because, and I'll always come back to like, for many things, the biology of stuff.
Yeah.
Because when you look at a lot of different animals in nature,
oh, they, it's all
will,
about asserting the
they
alpha.
Will do posturing moves. They will have certain signals that they send.
They'll growl.
They will growl. Yeah. They'll grunt. They will stand in a certain way. You know, if it's that they'll flare certain things, they'll color. They'll show certain colors. There's just a lot of stuff that happens in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And if we were to sit back and say that that there shouldn't be any posturing or there shouldn't be any alpha assertion, if there shouldn't be any of that dominance that tries to come out of, say, for example, a guy.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't hurt anyone, but just yeah. the general nature of the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's a normal part of the animal process of yeah. what humans...
Of what we are.
What we are.
It's stripping back a certain tool, a layer
yeah.
of who we are as an organism.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean?
And like, I think there's a lot to be said about that. And I think as long as it's used in the right way...
Of course.
Coupled with, you know, as I always try and promote, like, kindness and stuff. But at the end of the day, biologically, it is certainly something that is inherently primal, I'd say.
Yeah, that's probably the right word.
It's, the word's
inherently
primal.
Yes.
You know, it's primal.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think... I'm curious. In the UFC, for example,
mm.
is it as dominant and as... obvious for the female fights versus the guy fights?
I think it happens equally the same. There's more male fight. There's more male fights on a fight card than there is.
Yeah,
but when
they've got a female fight card or two,
I don't think they have. But if they were, I think if they were to do from prelims to main event a full female fight card, which I think would be awesome, right? I would say
they got press conferences though.
Hey.
But they do press conferences.
They do, but like in a fight card, like a UFC fight night or a pay-per-view, it's a mix between male and female.
No, of course.
I probably would say there's probably 70% more males fighting on the card than there is 30% females.
Yeah, but for the
females press do trash conferences talk as well.
Prior to the female fights,
yeah.
Is there a lot of trash talk?
Yeah, I think so.
Would you say equally so from what you've seen in UFC?
I wouldn't say equally, but I think if they were given the exact same amount of time platform on the stage, I wouldn't be surprised. If you were the matchmaker and you paired the right women together,
there
would be 100%.
That's interesting too.
100%. Again, it's all purely comes down to the fact that there's just more males on the roster. Therefore, there's going to be more male fights.
Yeah.
But if you, like I said, if you did a top to bottom, pure female fight card, I would say that there'd be trash talk.
Okay.
And I don't know how inflammatory it'd be. I don't know if it'll be like, you know, Conor McGregor, Khabib Nurmagomedov inflamed style of, you know, throwing dollies at buses and stuff like that. Ridiculous. That's just stupid, right? But I don't think it'll get to that. But are they going to say, yeah, I don't think she's any good, blah, 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 I'll knock her out? I think it'll happen. I think it would.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very primal sport too.
It's very primal sport.
So
you can't get any more primal than that.
No. So you would expect there to be some sort
scoring
of
scoring a goal against someone and winning 3-0 and checking out the hands. Shaking hands at the
end
of the
game
is
very different.
It's very much like a good game, but knocking someone out or choking someone unconscious, there's not much you can do coming back from that. Like
no, that's right.
Your morality drops whether you like it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And you just kind of get back up, dust yourself off, and think about your career after that.
Exactly. Yeah. And hopefully you don't run off after your career, you know, leave your career.
I know what you're trying to say with that one.
What?
I know what you were trying to say with that one.
There are particular fighters that just like to
only to win and just leave.
Literally
take their pillow and go home.
Don't be that.
Don't be that person. Swallow it. Eat it like an athlete. I was going to say, eat it like an athlete and just, you know, swallow it, swallow your pride.
Exactly.
And move
especially
forward.
When you're in such a primal sport as that.
Definitely.
But look, if I look back to when I was in school, did I ever...
Well, that's one question I actually wanted to ask you, because you did Taekwondo and you did compete as well. So if anything, you did more of that, like you were in that setting way more than what I would be, because I used to play soccer. Did it happen a lot?
That sport's got a lot of respect in it.
Yes.
And it, I think...
Like most traditional martial arts
has a lot of respect in it. So people don't...
Go out of their way.
Go out of their way to... make people psyched out that way. It tends tends to happen in fight. It's an intra-fight psych out.
Okay.
Particularly in Taekwondo, there's a lot of vocal things that come out of the mouth as they're hitting and attacking. If they score the point, it's almost like they wail as they kick with a sound.
Is that to influence the judges?
I think it play. I think there's a number of factors.
It's a lot of that, you know, all that kind of stuff.
It's more of a like a wow. Like there's a number of different sounds that people make when they get it.
Depending on the type of
person and what club they train in, what country they're from. There's a lot of different things.
There's a lot of cultural stuff.
There's a lot of cultural things.
Well, this plays into trash talk as well. Because this is why I was saying Americans. I think Americans started the whole trash talk. But in certain cultures, they have their own form of like... It might not be a verbal trash talk, but it might be like another way of showing, like you just said, their own way of wailing, so to speak.
So they would do it intra-fight.
Okay.
And then if they got like a point or got a good head kick or got a good, you know, chest kick or anything like that, you would often hear it come out. Okay.
Sorry to interrupt you. When you land a point, like a chest kick or a, you know, take your pick, after it's been awarded... would it be frowned upon to do like a Leighton Hewitt style? Come on! Would that be like, is that too much?
It would happen now more than what it used to.
And if it did happen, would it be like, hey, you can't do that, like taking the point off you? Or would they do that to psych the opponent out? It's like letting him know, I got you.
It would have been a very individual thing back then. Okay. I'm talking like, you know, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It would have been a very individual thing back then.
Yeah.
Whereas now... I think people get into the sport and like the fame of it more. So it would be more common. You'd be like, oh, this is a real... That's their own kind of brand, their own move. It'd probably be more acceptable now.
Okay.
Whereas...
It'd be interesting to see, to go to those local tournaments and see if it happens.
I think it was starting to come out, particularly in the higher ranked fights.
As you were phasing out?
As I was kind of competing, especially with a lot of the sounds. But if you saw someone kind of be like a real sore loser over it, mm. your first impression was they're not just a douchey person. Mm. They're obviously being trained by a shitty club.
Okay. So it comes
it
down
really
to
reflected back to the club. The club. It really reflected back to the
So did clubs
instructor.
Have certain so did clubs have certain reputations?
100%.
Okay. So it's like kind of like MMA gyms. If you fight this guy from this gym or this dojo or that whatever, you get the culture behind
you. You get
them.
The culture behind you.
Yeah.
There's very much a lot of that.
Okay, interesting. So that's no different.
But
really.
That would be no different to say a college fraternity club.
That's true as well.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
because if you're part of a certain fraternity,
exactly
then you
right.
know that they've got a certain culture behind them
mm.
and they're a certain type of fraternity, then you're going to get that kind of trash talk or beef or stuff thrown your way. Or they just walk around exuberating that kind of brand almost.
So curious, with your competitions, like did you know in advance who you were going to come up against, or was it like a round robin? I mean, obviously there'd be two sides to the table to be like,
you know,
playoffs, quarterfinals,
when
semis
I was competing,
final.
I didn't know. I think as you probably compete higher and higher and you know who's
you knew the
who
bracket.
And who's good.
You knew which bracket you were going to be.
You kind of knew what category you were going to fight and who you could potentially
So when
verse.
when you saw your opponent, you knew like, or you saw the name, or do you see the name or do you see the gym, the club that they're from?
Oh, geez, I can't remember back then. I think it was only the person's name.
Okay. But would you know a lot? Obviously, you've done it for a while.
You knew different gyms.
Yeah. So then,
and you knew who their instructors were.
Was it easy to assume that even though you didn't know the individual you were coming up against,
you knew what they were going to be like?
You knew it was going to be like based on
who
the club
they train with.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So it hasn't really much. It hasn't really changed.
Yeah.
If anything, it's been brewing underneath. It just hasn't been given that platform because of the fact that
you knew some clubs would also fight dirty.
Yeah, okay. So they bent the rules a little bit.
Yeah,
okay.
They push them.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it was probably less, they cared more about the competition and the win rather than
the respect of the sport,
rather than
the
martial art.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you, without naming cultures, do you feel like it was a cultural thing or was it a club thing?
Both.
Or was it a mix both? Okay.
Both. It'd be both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because also some cultures are more...
They just take it way more seriously, you think?
I think they take it way more seriously, but...
It's more life and death for them. Whereas it's like, this is a sport. Like, this is something I do.
Exactly, I'd say so.
Yeah.
And I think there'd be some cultures where they're, depending on how... And it's not a bad thing, it's just a natural progression of time. If a country would be very highly developed...
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're much more ahead as far as a developed... world
mm-hmm.
and they don't therefore have to necessarily fight day to day or they don't find it a challenge day to day then things would maybe come easier for a very like first world country, for example.
Yeah.
But if you've got someone who's come from a bit of struggle or it's culturally difficult to then they have to kind of prove themselves, they tend to come out with a lot more passion.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily a bad thing.
That's just what they do.
It's just what it is. So then different cultures will bring different ways of expressing either intra-fight how they are, how they respond to losses even, how they respond to wins.
Just everything.
Just everything. The whole thing is just, it just certainly plays a part.
Would you find that if, for whatever reason, your club that you were competing for or training under, and they just dismantled and went away and you had to choose between one of these two clubs.
Yeah.
One that was probably more culturally geared to that.
Yeah.
Do you feel like, I think I know the answer to this question, but I'll just ask you anyways. Do you feel like you would, because you still wanted to compete in Taekwondo and learn it, do you feel like you would adapt that type of mentality? Like you'd kind of be a chameleon and blend with what their message would be?
Meaning or if I had to choose between different clubs?
Yeah.
As in, which
would you
one,
be like? Would you be more? Not necessarily.
Which the, one would
the,
I pick?
The dirty tactic. No, I know which one you would pick. You wouldn't pick. You're more a very moral person. But if you had to just go to that specific gym, which is known to be a bit more cheating like and whatnot, would you go or would you just end it right there?
No, because I still wanted to train.
Because you wanted to train, you're still in your prime. You'd probably go, shit, I still want to compete. Would you go there and change your mentality? Because there's a reason why I'm asking you this.
I'd probably go in there and try and be humble.
Tried, but so you would still try to stick to who you are, knowing that your teammates, so to speak, are way different.
But I wouldn't have stayed there that long. I don't like to stay in a club like that.
Okay. It's interesting you say that.
I don't like to be part. See, this is the thing. It doesn't matter what sport it is, whether even if it was like we were talking about the debate before, whether it was like UFC, whether it was a big sport, whether it's Australian politics between different political parties, whatever it is, I don't like the stance of knocking everything else the opposition does to put yourself up to make yourself look like you're better.
Interesting.
I agree with the whole, you know, perform, do what you need to do, and then see how it plays out and you prove what it is, right? So I prefer the humility side of taking the humility approach. Mm-hmm. If someone was kind of like bag mouthing me saying this and that, I'd totally want to flip it on their head and compliment them for everything that they actually do good.
Yeah. Okay.
And see how that psychs them out. Because if someone's like comes at you and they're aggressive or they're very trying to prove you wrong and you're a bad person, you're this and you're that, and you stand up and you go, fair enough, you know, fine, I'll take that on the chin. But, you know, my opposition's, you know, they're doing some really great things in this area, and I think if we work together, we can really, like, take on that, and I think with the skills that we've got in our team, we could borrow upon that type of knowledge because they're doing really well in that area. I'd totally flip it on the head.
Yeah, yeah,
and then make them feel guilty that they've said some shitty stuff, that they even look even worse as they do it because they're going at someone who's actually very kind.
Interesting. Okay.
I like it from that approach.
That in itself is a form of, not trash talk, but you're turning their thing against them, in a sense. You're using their skills against them without having to physically or verbally do what they would normally do.
I wouldn't, whether it's intentional or not, maybe.
It is intentional. 100% it's intentional.
Maybe.
Yeah, of course. So the reason I ask is because trash talk doesn't come natural to me, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, so I played soccer, okay? But in my position in soccer, I've played several different positions, but it's always been somewhere in the middle, whether it was a sweeper, so like a kind of a center back, center midfield, or center forward. Center forward, once I lost my speed, I started to come down a little bit, right? Yeah. But when you become like, they call it like a six or an eight, playing that defensive midfield role, you have to be a good at a whole multitude of different things, from tackling to good passing, vision, like good cardio, good everything, right? Yeah. But you got to be really strong, okay? And the moment you in that position, you got to hustle for the ball, it's like this psychological disadvantage the moment someone just bumps you off the ball. Like you get bumped off the ball and you fall down, you're like, fuck.
This is
like,
when the person's in mid, right?
Huh? In midfield, yeah. It's there's a lot of contests in the middle, right? So it never kind of came natural to me. But then I got this one coach, right? That he just had this really good way of like switching me on. He's like, man, just get in their face. I'm like, that's not what I do. I don't get in their face. He's like, okay, well, he goes, in the first tackle, you got to let them know that you're there. And this is when he hits. I was like, what do you mean let them know that I'm there? It's like, even if it's 90% their ball, like, you know, when it's a 50-50 balls in the middle, you're both coming for the ball. It's like, it's fair game. But when it's like all his ball, there's no point in charging at him and trying to get the ball because you're not going to get it. So because he goes, even if it's 90% his, 10% yours, come in and clean him out.
Yeah.
First 30 seconds, minute, whatever.
Yeah.
Because it sets the tone for the rest of the team. Mm. And that clicked for me because I was like, for the rest of the team? He's like, yeah, because you get in there and you take their big guy out straight away. You get the ball, and that guy's like, holy shit, where did this come from, man? It's like 30 seconds into the game, you practically took my legs out. You don't even know any of the ball. Okay. Clear foul. The moment I did that, it's like every time he was about to get the ball, he'd quickly get rid of it.
Yeah.
And I was like, interesting. And that instantly, without doing the trash talk, it's something that I did very early on in the game, within the rules of the game, but you let them know, don't hold on the ball too long because I'm going to take you out.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to let you know. You're going to walk away with a cork or something because I'm there. And that is a huge psychological advantage, especially in soccer, especially when you're contesting with the other six for the ball. You don't want them to turn and try and look for a through ball or a pass. You want them to get the ball and just get rid of it straight away because it allows your team to compress.
I can appreciate that. I can see how that would work. And I think that's...
So that was more like a physical trash talk. You know what I mean? It's like letting them know, like... I'm right here, right behind you. Don't do anything stupid because I'm going to take your ankles out.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
No, I can see how that would work. And I can see how that would play out well in your favor.
Yeah.
Especially when they kind of like get a little bit like
timid.
They get timid. Become timid. Like, holy shit. Like, all right.
It's like, shit, I don't want anything part of this guy. You know what I mean? He's gonna I've got to go to work on Monday. Yeah. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that was, it's funny how certain, like you said, in clubs and gyms have that certain like culture. And this club that I played for didn't have that culture, but this coach demanded like dominance.
Yeah.
He's like, play fair, but let him know. Everything was let him know you're there.
I mean, back then, that's probably, that because I think there was a lot of psyching up in that regard. So I would say that certainly probably played a part. And I think there'd be a lot of clubs that back then would have tried to psych someone out early on, even if they do like one or two dirty kicks, or they from the get.
Yeah, it's like you're setting the tempo.
They get very close and I'll do like one foul move, but they know they're going to wear it. Yeah. And I'll be like, no, but I just want to set the tempo so you know I'm psycho. I'm a bit crazy. Okay. I'm a bit like,
oh, so it's letting you know, like, I'm crazy,
let
man.
You know that I'm a little bit aggressive.
Yeah.
And you're like
yeah.
a little bit reluctant because you're like, oh shit, that's I got to watch out for that front leg now. Yeah. And then you back off.
Yeah.
Could be their strategy. Do you know what I mean?
Love the mind game stuff.
Yeah. So I think, look, it probably plays an important role in a lot of things. But yeah, look, going into this conversation, I was probably more around, I like to flip the table and not play the game that the other person's playing and take the more kind approach.
Mm-hmm.
However, I can totally appreciate doing a mad slide tackle in the first 10 seconds of a soccer match.
Yeah.
To let the person on midfield know that it's game.
Yeah. I'm not going there. I'm not kicking him.
Doing one or two funny kicks here and there in a martial arts thing.
Yeah.
Just to say, look,
this is really going to go my way.
This is going to go my way.
Yeah.
And I'm willing, even though you're not, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make sure I win.
Yeah. That's exactly how my coach would say.
You know your intent. If you do it intentionally to try and psych the person out, even though you know you probably wouldn't push that far ahead.
Yeah.
I can appreciate
it. Like in Taekwondo, like you wouldn't go up and just kick someone straight in the nuts because that's just a foul, right? That's just, you're purely fouling. Like I wouldn't go behind someone and just kick him. Like you contest, in quotation marks, contest the ball, but it's like you got majority of their body and like 10% of the ball.
Yeah.
But in the referee's eyes, it's very much like, oh, come on, mate, it's a bit late. Come on, 30 seconds. Oh, sorry, ref. And you kind of play down the whole like, oh, sorry, ref. Yeah, you're right, mate. Yeah, you're good. You help them up. But they go, Jesus, like, fuck, man, that hurt. You know? So next time it's like, oh, not this guy again, you know?
No, so I think there's certainly a place for it. But circling back around, there's going to be a second debate.
A second one?
This is one of three that's happening.
Oh, so I'm telling you, man, this is pure... You know how you do like someone like wins the first match, like, I want a rematch, bitch, and then they do the trilogy? Yeah. So it's going to be a trilogy.
But the second one's not Trump versus Biden.
Well, who is it?
It's going to be Pence versus Kamala.
But it's still like...
It's the vice president nominees next.
So what's the third one going to be then?
I would assume it's going to be the presidential candidates again.
Yeah, it's a trilogy, man.
It's a trilogy.
See, they love it.
One's happening. By the time this episode goes live, it'll probably be happening in 5 days or something.
They should do it on pay-per-view.
Maybe four.
If put it this way, right? I'm going to tell you guys something right now. Whoever organizes if this ever reaches America,
it won't be paper. They won't do a paper.
If they did, though, they won't. If they did,
there's too much laws and stuff around. I'm telling you, right?
If they did, and they all proceeds went to healthcare or homelessness or like cancer foundations, it would be the highest grossing pay-per-view
potentially,
irrespective of any combat sports.
It could.
Soccer, football, NFL, whatever you name it. It would be bigger than halftime Super Bowl commercial. If they put it on pay-per-view, they would raise I wouldn't even know how much money they would raise. Just hit me up. Like I'm Dana White 2.0. Just a lot more hair on my face. And
we'll have to see how it plays out. But I'm curious to watch the next one. But alrighty. Yeah, look, man, I'm conscious of time for this particular episode. I know I like pushing an hour and 10 minutes for the next shows.
But we got stuff to do.
Tonight. We've got some plans, some family plans. So, I'm going to have to...
Twas a good catch-up, my friend.
It was a good catch-up.
On our anniversary. I'm sorry I forgot our anniversary.
That's all right,
I did forget. But
make it up next year.
I'll be...
congratulations.
Congratulations to you.
It's been a good first year. It's been a good lead up. I was kind of thinking episode 52 would line up with the 1 year mark, but you know, yeah, as it plays out, because we kind of shuffled.
Must be like a leap year or something.
Well, no,
like
it's because we, I think we started releasing it on one certain day and then it pushed it.
We used to do it midweek.
We used to do it midweek, but then we kind of found our footing and it landed on a Monday. So it's kind of like
done this,
come forward a bit, which added on two episodes over time.
Yeah.
But no, it's been one year and, you know, certainly looking forward to it, you know, the next year and seeing where it goes.
100%.
So congratulations. Happy birthday.
Congratulations. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday for the podcast, Journey to Wherever.
And yeah, like always, journeytowherever.com if you want to engage with us and check us out.
Yeah.
All right.
Follow us on the socials.
Definitely. All on the socials.
All good.
All right, man.
Have a good one. Laters.
See you guys. Bye.
You feel bad?
Huh?
Do you feel bad?
Feel bad about what?
For forgetting?
I do, actually.
You should feel bad.
I'm sorry, man.
You should feel bad. Like, you should feel terrible. What kind of a co-host are you? You need to step up your game.
You had me. You distracted me at the point. Like,
I'm trash talking you for the next episode.
The trash talk, but I also, like, it's just been a busy week, man.
No, I'm joking, man. It's just trash. It's trash talk.
Is it trash talk? You sucking me out?
I'm trying to suck you out. Didn't you get it?
No, I didn't.
Oh, come on.
No, as soon as I walked in, I didn't even notice the setup. I just saw the bottle. I was like, damn, I'm going to get my Barry White on. So,
yeah.
All right. We got to get out of here before we get in trouble. All right.
Have a good one. Later. Bye.